crazy time of year just keeps getting a little busier. We're not too far away from the Denver Nuggets' first game of the season. We're less than a month away. They play the Phoenix Suns on a Wednesday night, October 20th. This game's going to be on ESPN. So we've got everything moving and shaking with college football and the National Football League. We're rounding out the baseball season. You got hockey ready to go. Boy, it's the best time. Is October the greatest month of all when it comes to the Big Four, to sports? Because you got baseball playoffs going on. Start of NHL and NBA, and then you're well into the NFL season. Crazy. It's fun. Glad we're here. Glad we're not in summer of 2020 anymore, where Colfax and I were reviewing Tombstone from 1995. Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer light up the screen. As fun as it was, when you describe that to somebody and say, this is what Colfax and I did on Fridays because there were no games to talk about going into the weekend. We didn't even review new stuff. It was just random stuff we found. It was fun.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Tombstone. We did review that newer Guy Ritchie film with Michael.
Oh, yeah.
With Matthew McConaughey.
That was good.
That was
The Gentleman?
The Gentleman.
That was a good one. That was the most recent one.
Yep.
We did. What was the Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio one?
Quentin Tarantino
film. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yep.
Yeah, that was good. Yep. So we did some fairly relevant movies, but we also went back to the 90s and reviewed those bad boys. That was good. It's fun.
Got us through.
It did. It got us through. Now, man, it's like, can you keep up? I mean, September's been a very busy month for Colorado sports. You know, you obviously start the Broncos season. We got into college football. Aaron Gordon signed the 4-year, $92 million contract extension at the beginning of the month. And we wondered, was it going to happen this year? Nuggets going to sign Michael Porter Jr.? Or are they going to let the year go out and see what happens? Well, we know now, don't we? Nuggets small forward Michael Porter Jr. has agreed to a 5-year contract extension that's worth up to $207 million. His agent, Mark Bartlestein, told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that Porter's deal is worth $172 million unless he reaches the designated max criteria and is named to one of the three All-NBA teams this year. Good move or bad move? Do you like? I mean, it's a lot of money you're giving him now. Yeah, he's making bank at this stage. He is certainly going to be paid like a superstar. 5 years. I mean, it's a lot, dude. I mean, it is a lot. So the deal itself is $172 million. So it can be worth up to $107 million with incentives and such. But that's... Colfax, isn't that like $33 million a year? 172 divided by 5? 130? 128? Are you doing long math?
34 million?
30. Is that right?
Is that right?
Yeah,
no.
I mean, is that right?
Because 172 million divided
by that's what
5 years.
The deal is the 5-year extension is worth up to $207 million. It's worth $172 million right now unless he reaches those criteria to be named to one of all the NBA all-NBA teams or whatever, so he can bump it up. But, I mean, you're in Jamal Murray territory now, folks. That's what Jamal Murray, I guess it makes sense, because when you're talking about the superstars of this team, because take Nikola Jokic and put it to the side, because you're all going to freak out when you look at that. You don't want to go to Nuggets payroll and you're going to see, well, none of Aaron Gordon or Porter Jr.'s deals aren't showing yet, but you see Joker's contract for the remaining 2 years is at 30.5 and 32.4. Well, almost 32.5. But he's due for the MVP. What the hell is that contract going to look like? He's due for an MVP max contract. When you win the MVP, you ultimately can be awarded the number one contract. I mean, the top contract. So what is that? With the new rules and all that and the salary cap in the NBA, are we looking 40s? Upwards? Upwards of 40s? I mean, because if you look at Porter, that's I what was I telling you? High 20s? And here we are. I mean, he's sitting right where Jamal Murray is. But I listen, it's hard to argue. You got Steph Curry who's making $45 million a year. So Joker's going to be in that territory. They're probably not going to mess with it this year, but next offseason, they're going to be working out Nikola Jokic's new deal. And make no mistake about it, they will sign him to a long-term deal. He wants to be a Denver Nugget. I would be extremely shocked if that doesn't happen. So right now, so Steph Curry, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, James Harden all have the richest salaries, which Russell Westbrook said today that his goal with the Lakers is to just make LeBron James' job easier. That's why we're paying you $44 million. I don't know how that all worked out, but Joker's probably going to be getting up there to the 50s. So on the surface, he's 23. We've talked about Michael Porter Jr.'s shortcomings defensively, maybe just decision-making sometimes. You're Tim Connelly, Colfax. Would you have done this, or would you have waited it out to see how the season goes? Because you got your big four. And you got Will Barton, who I had some people already arguing with me today, say, you got your big five. No. Barton's not a... He's not a big five. He's not a big four. He's not a big three. He's a nice piece to the puzzle. And I like Barton, but he's not a star. He doesn't have the potential to be a star. He could have a monster year this year. But still not going to be a star overall. He signed the two-year deal. He's got this year and next year on his contract. Hell, he's making 30 this year. So, why wouldn't Porter make that? So, would you have done this?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a gamble. It's a pretty big gamble. Aaron Gordon was a gamble. I think we had some texters a couple weeks ago that were like, why am I not more excited about this? Well, because Aaron Gordon came in and was unstoppable when Jamal Murray was playing. And then I don't want to say he fizzled. I think that's disrespectful because I don't think he fizzled. I think that he just... I don't think he fit. He didn't find his spot in the playoffs where you needed him to. We got a couple of texts here. Okay. Some other things. Sometimes the hooligans take me places. And I can go there. Mysterio, just watched the rest of the UNC game last night. Do you feel like the offense is too slow? Doesn't seem like they use the altitude to their advantage. Just seems like they're playing slow ball. My assessment so far of UNC football is that we are baby-stepping the offense. That's my assessment. That's not from Ed McCaffrey. That's not from anybody. That's not from Max. And that's not from Dylan. I did catch something that Dylan said yesterday. Love that segment, by the way. It's fantastic. Thanks to First Advantage and Windsor Mill Tavern. He said, hey, I do feel like, you know, we can do a lot of short passing plays and trust our receivers to get a lot of that yak to make plays. I think that they are looking at this defense going, our defense is so good. We don't want to dare risk because we'll lose a game. Turnovers are just going to cut, and that did prove costly. But if you do it too many times or too many unfortunate times, it's going to cost you the game. But you have a damn good defense. We're trying to get Coach Darnell on the show later this week, but you have a ridiculous defense. So I agree it's slow. I do think that they are trying to nickel and dime and work their way down the field. But I'm not so sure. I think that's by design right now. I think we'll open it up. I mean, keep in mind, Dylan McCaffrey has only played a few full games in like 5 years. I talked to Coach McCaffrey on the phone, you know, just he and I a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, dude, think about it. He didn't say dude, but he said, you know, Dylan, it's been like 5 years since he played a full game. That's a lot of the case for all the offense. So I think they're kind of baby-stepping it. They're working their way in. Noob, $34 million. Come on, Brady, you should know that. You should know that. Know that world don't make you that what?
You should know that world. Don't you make that.
$34 million? And close.
I was asking, don't you make that.
Oh, yeah. Close.
Yeah, right up there.
I'm in my negotiation process.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get around there. We'll see. Working out the contract details as we speak right now. I got my agent on it. He doesn't have a cell phone yet. He's only 3. So he's working it out. Eastside Chris, it would be in your best interest to urge your son to become an NBA player. Wow, he made a reference to my son before I did. Wow, I didn't know we were
that.
Yeah. Forget making him a doctor. Yeah, no, if your kid can play basketball, yeah, if he's going to be tall, which I actually think my kid's going to be freaking tall, by the way, Colfax. My wife's side of the family, they're all tall. I mean, he's going to be taller than me. I'm an average size guy, average height, 5'10 and a half. Really wanted that 6 foot. Couldn't quite get there. My kid's going to be taller than me by the time he's a sophomore in high school. His grandpa is 6'2", which isn't huge, but his great-grandpa on his grandma's side, so two different sides of tallness, was like 6'5". His uncle's 6'5". His great-uncle's like 6'6". So my group, we're all just average size. So you take average with tall, that should be like 6'2". I'm thinking he's going to be 6'2", 6'3". That's not going to be NBA.
Unless he could get lucky and get up there.
Unless he could get up there. I mean, maybe he's a damn good ball handler and just ridiculous. I mean, I am friends with Nico Medved and Steve Smiley. You know, I could. I mean, I got you know, Coach Jones in my neighborhood working with him. I could have him working with him every day.
That's where your money's at, man.
That's where the money is. That's where it is, noob. Hey, punctuation aren't my strong suit.
Clearly,
it's okay because you guys get to texting so fast because you got to get the points out. Because I'll gloss right the hell over those things sometimes.
Is it Top Text Tuesday today?
Yep.
It is.
It is. It's Top Text Tuesday. We're competing today. Wow. No wonder. No wonder you guys are getting after it early. I always wonder when I see a crap ton of text early. Dixon has one. Snooki has one. Ken Bone has one. Will County Swami has one. And Noob has one. And we got another signed Ed McCaffrey football. That's what we're throwing up for grabs at this point. So we'll see. Eastside Chris is petrified. He's so worried about Dixon. He's like, where is Chief Dixon? Dixon is like not coming out this week. I guarantee you, man. Where are you, Dixon? You coming? You playing this week? Oh, that's right. The Chiefs are 1-2. You're going to stay down until they win 4 in a row. Then you're going to come back and start talking that game. All right. Power to Play Sports poll question. Good transition. Thank you, Eastside Chris. Nice assist. Who has the best chance to dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs as the AFC West champ? The Broncos, the Raiders, or the Chargers? Raiders and Chargers, don't they play on Sunday night? Boy, that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that game more than I am. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not that overly excited about Buccaneers-Patriots. They're doing all the going back home kind of stuff to Tom Brady. Like, they're probably going to do something cool for him, but the Patriots aren't that great. So, I mean, we're building up a lot of hype around a game that's probably going to be 34-7 or 10, something like that. I think it's going to be a blowout. No, they play Monday night. I had that backwards. Sunday night is Buccaneers-Patriots, and Monday night is Raiders-Chargers. Ooh. Right now, the Chargers are a 3.5-point favorite at home. Who has the best chance? Boy, you got to like what Derek Carr's doing right now, don't you? I mean, he is the best yardage-wise, he's the top quarterback in the league. Their offense, the Raiders' offense, is number one in offense in three weeks. But still, you know, they're rolling. Chargers are good on offense. They're just atrocious at stopping the run. They can't stop the run. They're the worst team in the league at stopping the run. So I'm going to take Chargers out because their defense is suspect through 3 weeks. Now, they're 20th against the pass, but, 7th against the pass, last against the rush. I mean, you can't be last in a category unless the Chargers were first in a category at something, right? Like, if their offense was blowing people out the door, they're 4th in passing, they're 9th overall in offense. Is that going to make up in the long run? Is Justin Herbert, who is, as his coach said, a gangster, is playing, he's balling out right now. You got quarterback play. You got quarterback play happening in the AFC West. And yes, Teddy Bridgewater is very much a part of that. Um, I'm trying not to go crazy here. I'm really getting behind this Broncos team. I'm really thinking they're good. And I don't even think we've seen the best of it. I still think this rushing attack can get better. I'm a little worried about Teddy and how he does against a top-tier defense. We're going to find out Sunday, though, won't we? Baltimore's got a good team. They're a contending team. Great story about Teddy Bridgewater, by the way. Just real quick. Justin Simmons, I don't know if you guys heard it, but okay. He was talking about, hey, I like to go say a prayer at the end of the game. Win or lose, no matter what, we gather around teammates, opposing team. We gather in a circle. You've seen that before. Teams do that a lot. Simmons is like, it's just so important to me to do that, to be a part of that. Teddy usually leads that thing, gets everybody together, and it's just a very important thing in my life. And he's like, I was so worried in a post-game interview that I was going to miss the prayer. Like, it was bothering me. So I'm looking over, and sure enough, I see them break huddle, and they're all leaving. And I'm kind of like down. It hit me. Justin Simmons kind of walks, and he's walking along the field, probably just getting ready to go back to the locker room. And Teddy Bridgewater runs up to him, pulls him back out in the middle of the field, and says, dude, I didn't forget about you. Sit down. He grabs him by the hands, and they kneel down, and they say a prayer together. And Simmons is like, he didn't know it at the time. He's like, man, I needed that prayer. I needed it in my life right now. And Teddy's just a positive influence. And I'm not going to be that guy that goes, all right, just because he's a great guy off the field, I'm all in. No, he's still got to prove it on the field. But as far as a leader goes, 3-0, I'm seeing it, folks. I'm seeing it with Teddy. I'm seeing the attitude. I'm seeing the way he is around his teammates. I'm hearing his teammates talk about him. And you didn't hear that with Drew Lock. And that's not to say Drew Lock can't be that guy someday. But right now, it appears that Vic Fangio got this one right. And I'm not going to say I got it wrong. I'm not yet. Because Drew Lock's a very young quarterback, and I was still very much of the mindset where I wanted to see what was there. That doesn't solve that riddle just yet. But if you were asking me today, Colfax, who's starting on Sunday, who would you pick? It's Teddy, hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down. He's the guy, and he's earned it, right?
Yeah.
Would Drew Lock have been playing lights out at this point? Who knows? We don't know that. But Teddy has earned it, and he's a leader right now. And like I said, I wouldn't have made the decision. I would have said, I'm going with the younger guy if it's 50-50, and it's his job to lose, and maybe he loses it, and then that's it for the Drew Lock era, and bye-bye. But Teddy might make us forget about that. 3-0 right now against the worst schedule in the league. But he might make us forget about that. And that's, I'll tell you what, 8 weeks, 9 weeks in, and if the Broncos are rocking a great record, only a couple losses, then we're forgetting all about it. And we're saying, you know what? The future is now. And it's so good right now that, you can sacrifice not knowing what Drew Lock had. 23 minutes after the hour, busy show today. We got Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos coming up. How will the Broncos overcome terrible injuries? KJ Hamler was the news of the day yesterday. Power to Play Sports poll question. Load that up. Let me know who you guys think. Broncos, Raiders, or Chargers? Who has the best chance to dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs as the AFC West champ? We'll get to more of this Michael Porter Jr. thing and the Nuggets. I mean, this is Tim Conley saying it. This is it. These are my guys. We're going all in. He's pushing all of his chips to the middle table. I wrote about it in my Deep Thoughts from Wandering Mind. You'll appreciate this. I don't feel like the Nuggets have a royal flush, Colfax. But I don't know that anybody has a royal flush in the NBA right now. And I think the Nuggets might have like a four-of-a-kind type hand, a really good hand. But that might be enough to win the whole pot. There you go. A little poker talk for you, Colbs. 24 minutes after the hour. Short break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Teddy Bridgewater. We'll talk about this Broncos team. How do they overcome the injuries? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studio.
The Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour, we're gonna take a short break pretty soon here. We busted through that clock, all right? Texters, load up the text. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888 530-0043. And, of course, Dixon is here to correct me about the Monday night, Sunday night game. So there he is. Gotta love it. Thank you, Dixon. Well, Susan Cheryl apparently missed Dixon. How you doing, buddy? How you doing, pal? Chiefs are, is he scared? You get a little worried? Get a little worried out there? Should be. Got it very tight. And I'm not even just talking about the Broncos. The AFC West looks pretty damn good. The poll real quick, and then we'll break here, Colfax. Who has the best chance to dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs as the AFC West champ? 50% saying the Raiders. 33% saying the Chargers. And 16% saying the Broncos. I agree with the 50%. I agree with the Raiders. Right now. Because the Raiders, to me, they're kind of a middle-of-the-road defense. They're not an amazing defense. Their offense is lighting it up. And that is, with Josh Jacobs kind of been questionable, their passing attack is just there. So many studs on this on that wide receiver core. So, all right, before we break, Mosher Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Live well. Plan ahead. Give Scott Robiner, a member of their great staff, a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. And listen, it's the toughest time of your life. It's the toughest time to deal with that situation. Wouldn't it be great if that loved one took care of everything, at least pre-planning the funeral service and all of that, so you don't have to be dealing with that among everything else you're going through? That's Mosher Funeral and Cremation Services. Their website, Mosher, M-O-S-E-R, funeralservice.com. Zach Stevens coming up next from DNVR Broncos. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, CSU basketball practice started today, so that's pretty good. That just reminded me there, Colfax. Thank you for that. That's how I get my news, is on this show. Nico Medved and company, man, I am so excited for what the Colorado State Rams are going to do on the basketball side of things. Yeah, we got basketball coming up. It's nuts, but you know what? It's Zach Stevens' time, and when it's Zach Stevens' time, we go all things Broncos football, as it should be. Zach, my friend, 3-0. But I think we're all kind of getting concerned about these injuries piling up. Tough day yesterday when we heard the news about KJ Hamler.
Yeah, I mean, a brutal break for the Broncos there, and you really feel so bad for KJ. This is a guy that has done so much to stay healthy. Obviously, he had 4 hamstring injuries last year, has done a great job this offseason and this year to not have any hamstring injuries. He changed up his routine. He changed the way he prepares his body. And then this freak ACL accident happens. And the really concerning thing is that it's not just the ACL. There's other things that are messed up as well. And so we're waiting to get more information on that from further tests. But for a guy that's a speed guy, you also question how much is this going to change, the way he's able to play the game after this. You really hope not, but it's hard to not think about that.
Well, and, especially given the circumstances with Jerry Jeudy down, you're thinking, all right, this is a perfect opportunity for him to make some noise. And, boy, that's rough for him personally. So certainly hoping for the best that it's not going to be one of those things that lingers for years to come. But we shall see, and we probably won't know for quite some time. But on the other side of it for the Broncos, as far as that receiving core, they were extremely deep, Zach, coming in. We talked about that in the offseason. Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick are going to do just fine. But, what else are the Broncos looking at this stage to get back to increasing some of that depth at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos now wish they had Trinity Benson.
Right.
I mean, it made sense to make that move, not knowing that 2 of your guys were going to get injured. The Broncos did sign David Moore, a veteran receiver who's been in the league a couple of years, has actually had some production, started 14 games, so he'll eventually start to give some reps. I wouldn't expect him to be a big player this coming week, but what I really expect to happen is the Broncos rely on other positions on offense, especially those 2 tight ends. Noah Fant and Albert Okwuegbunam, Those guys can be on the field every single play, and they're going to be relied on a lot more, not just as inline tight ends, but you're going to have them lined up as wide receivers, and you need to get Noah Fant more involved. The one catch on three targets last week, that's not going to get it done for Noah. He needs to be better, and the Broncos need to do a better job of getting him the ball. So that's the guy where I really see this coming down to. You're obviously going to have Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton on the field at the same time for pretty much every single play, but then involve the tight ends more. Whether they're in line or they're spread out as wide receivers, those guys have to be the next focal point of this offense.
Zach, any other news on the injury front? Any good news on the horizon?
Yeah, I guess slightly good news to avoid disaster and devastation. The Broncos won't be placing Dalton Risner, Dalton Risner and Graham Glasgow won't have season-ending injuries, which is good. But from things I'm hearing in the background right now, Brady, is that I wouldn't expect either of those guys to play this week. We'll get some more news in the next couple of days about what's going on with both of them. But just from what I'm hearing, it doesn't look good for either of them this week, which is a big concern because, Brady, the interior of the offensive line was already my number one concern for this team. And now you're not just down one guy. You're down two guys, two veteran guys on that line. That's a big concern. Now, I like Netani Muti's talent, but he certainly hasn't been perfect when he's been in there these past couple of weeks. And then Quinn Meinertz, again, really like the talent, but it's very clear that he needed a full year to transition from, you know, Division III up to the NFL game. And so if he's forced in there, that's going to be tough, especially with a good Baltimore Ravens front seven coming up.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, and as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, man, the wise guys are must not be filling in on this yet, because the Broncos, last I checked, are a 1.5-point favorite, Zach, and I thought fully healthy for both teams. I know the Ravens have had issues at running backs, yet Lamar Jackson's carrying the running game for them. Fully healthy, I'm thinking the Ravens should be the favorite even at home, even on the road against Denver. What's going on with that pick? What can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, how crazy is that? And I'm pulling it up right now, Brady. And the line is moving closer to zero right now. Broncos still a 1-point favorite.
Wow.
And you can't be talking about disrespect from the Broncos anymore. Maybe individual people nationally still disrespect them, but the nation is certainly picking up on the Broncos. And the nation, kind of like you said, Brady, isn't really focusing on the injuries, because so far the Broncos have been able to overcome injuries. Last year, we know the Broncos were devastated by injuries, specifically at the beginning of the year. They're devastated by injuries again, and they're not using it as an excuse. They're not using it as a legitimate reason why they're struggling. They're filling in and going, and that is the difference between, you know, a borderline team and a really good team. So the Broncos are absolutely doing a great job overcoming that. But then you also have they've played three teams that are 0-9. And now you have the Baltimore Ravens that are coming in off a last-second 66-yard field goal. They're coming in off beating the Chiefs 2 weeks ago. And then you have the Steelers, who are just always a tough team to play, even though they're struggling right now. And then, of course, the undefeated Raiders, and then what may be the most difficult game of the season, Thursday night road game in Cleveland. So this is the real test for the Broncos. But, Brady, a great thing is the Broncos built themselves up such a nice padding with this 3-0 start. They beat the teams that they were supposed to beat, which these Broncos teams have not done in the past. So that is something different than teams in the past. And so that's a reason to say that this isn't the team of the past. And then also, if they go 2-2 in this stretch, Brady, they are more than fine. They'll be 5-2 coming out of a brutal stretch. That's a playoff team right there. 1-3, okay, you're a little nervous. And then obviously 0-4, the wheels have absolutely fallen off, and we are talking about blowing everything up.
Well, and the good thing is, like you said about those first three, is they didn't just win, they handled both all three teams. You know, there was never really much doubt, especially once we crossed over into the second half. What's going to be interesting, this is why the NFL is so magical, why football is so magical. You know, the first three weeks can be great, but it can change instantly. And like you said, Ravens, Steelers, Raiders, Browns, we could get to that point. We could be having way different conversations about Teddy Bridgewater, about the rushing attack, about the defense, about Vic Fangio. But for now, Teddy Bridgewater has been such a joy to watch, such a joy to hear about as far as his leadership goes. You know, that quarterback competition was so interesting, but it does seem, for now, like Vic Fangio absolutely made the right call.
Yeah, and like you said, he's passing every single test. He's passing the stats test in flying colors. He's passing the leadership test. He's passing the eye test as well. Just how comfortable and patient he looks in the pocket's incredible. And maybe the brightest spot for me, because I knew he was going to throw the deep ball from what I saw in training camp. But what I didn't know was how good he was going to be outside of the pocket. I knew he was going to be able to manipulate the pocket well. But when he gets outside the pocket, I mean, the plays he's making are dynamic. They're fun. They're entertaining. They're off script when he's rolling right. And then he throws it back into the middle of the field. That's ill-advised throw, but you know what? If you do it in a good situation, you're just a playmaker, and that's what Teddy Bridgewater has shown in these first three games. Is every good quarterback's a game manager. Every great quarterback also has something else to him, and that's what Teddy Bridgewater has shown in these first three games. And you talk about building a margin of error. Teddy's done that for himself. His quarterback passer rating, quarterback rating, all of those stats are so high that even if he comes down a little bit, he's still going to be playing at an extremely good level. Now, do you want to see him do better in the red zone? Of course you do. But Brady, isn't it good to be able to build off of things and continue to get better when you're not just 3-0, but you're dominating teams?
Yeah, no question. And you have a lot of things going for you right now. You know, we can go to that defense here in a moment and what we've seen out of that group. But what is it? I mean, is it just a better caliber team around Teddy Bridgewater? Because let's face it, I've watched some Teddy Bridgewater games, but I haven't watched them as closely as I've been watching the last 3 weeks and the preseason. To me, and again, Teddy Bridgewater diehards, Vikings diehards, whatever might say different, but I don't remember seeing this guy on a weekly basis except for maybe, what, his rookie year or second year in the league.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go back to his early time in Minnesota. And then, of course, the five games he had with Sean Payton in New Orleans. And a lot of people just write that off as, oh, well, yeah, he had Sean Payton with him. And in those five games, he went 5-0, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That was elite-level play right there. But a lot of people, like I said, discounted as well. That was all Sean Payton doing. And he had so much talent around him in New Orleans. Look how much talent is surrounding him in Denver right now. Now, of course, injuries have taken a little hit to that, but he still has a Pro Bowl receiver in Cortland Sutton. Tim Patrick, it may be even better receiver than Cortland Sutton is right now. The running game actually has been disappointing as well. Now they're seventh in the league in rushing, but the averages that they've had have not been good. So Teddy's really put this team on his back and been able to do this without the best supporting ground game in the league right now. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. And Brady, one thing that we talked about when Vic was hired as the Broncos head coach was, okay, it's going to take some time for this defense to become the elite Vic Fangio defense, because his past two stops with the 49ers and the Bears, it took him until year three for the defense to be elite. Well, what's happening right now? The first 2 years, kind of a disappointment from the defense. They weren't getting the sacks. They weren't getting the turnovers. They were having some impressive games, but overall it was a little bit of a disappointment for having a defensive guru as your head coach. But now, year three, and this defense is absolutely elite. Only allowed 26 points per game, and that's including a special teams touchdown. So they're really averaging just 6 points per game, and I don't care that they've been playing two rookie quarterbacks and Daniel Jones. They have dominated, absolutely dominated these teams.
Well, and you're seeing turnovers, you're seeing sacks. That's what I wanted to see against the Jets. I know the Jets are bad, but what do you do against bad teams? You absolutely annihilate them, and they did, 26-0. But they're getting after the quarterback, Von Miller with 4 sacks, and then everybody else was getting in the mix. Alexander Johnson looked fantastic. So sometimes those games, I mean, I know they're against bad teams, but they're confidence builders, and you're absolutely right. This defense looks as good as we advertised in the offseason.
Yeah, exactly. And that's even with them taking hits to Ronald Darby. You're without your high-priced corner. You're without Bradley Chubb, one of what we thought was a foundational piece on this defense. You're out with one of the best players that was playing on this team in Josie Jewell. He started the year incredibly well, and you're still able to do this. And look at the margin of error that they have now, the wiggle room that they have when they play the Baltimore Ravens. They can give up over 2 touchdowns more than they've allowed their 3 previous opponents to score. and they still should very much have a shot, because if they're allowing Baltimore to score 21 to 20 points or 21 to 24 points, the Broncos offense should absolutely be able to put up 25 points and win that game for you. So the margin of error that the Broncos have built themselves is a ton right now, and there's very much room to be very encouraged about what this team can do in this next difficult stretch.
All right, what do they got to do to beat the Ravens at home on Sunday?
They've got to contain Lamar Jackson, turn him in to a pocket passer, and then the secondary will be able to handle the rest. Lamar Jackson, when he came out, he was very much just known as a big-time running threat. He's developed his game where now he can win on the ground, he can win through the air, but the Broncos need to make sure that if he's going to win, it's through the air, because that's the Broncos' strength right now, is that pass defense. And so it's going to be key to, and it sounds weird, but you don't want to get too much of an interior pass rush, because that will force Lamar Jackson out of the pocket, and that just creates nightmares in your pass defense, and it creates nightmares for him running. The second thing is Malik Reed and Von Miller going to have to rush him effectively, but keep him inside the pocket. Lamar Jackson can win this game on his own. Here's a crazy number for you. In the Lamar Jackson era, the Baltimore Ravens are 19-1 when they score 28 or more points. So containing Lamar Jackson and keeping him under that number will keep the Broncos in the game.
I know there's other guys that have done it, but, man, going back to that first game of the season for the Ravens, Mr. Crosby was getting after it. So, I mean, that might be one you want to go look at and how to contain Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Zach, what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out the next couple of days?
Man, just breaking down more of these next four games. And Brady, kind of like we talked about, I don't think it's as daunting as people make it up to be. So I'm going to break down just exactly why that's the case. And it's a very tough schedule, and it's much tougher than the first half of the season, than the first three games. But I don't think it's as bad as people think.
Boy, if you can find a way to beat this Ravens team at home, which, like you said, it doesn't seem that far out of the question, you got to feel like you're playing with house money going to Pittsburgh in 2 weeks.
Yep, exactly. And then there's a chance that the Raiders and Broncos can be undefeated going into their week six game. And, man, would that be so much fun?
Oh, I hope there. Hey, we asked this question real quick. I got about 30 seconds, Zach. Who do you think has the best chance in the AFC West to dethrone the Chiefs at this point as AFC West champs, the Raiders, Broncos, or Chargers?
Oh, man, I got to go with the team that just beat them, the Chargers. Justin Herbert looks like the truth, and, man, Brandon Staley's doing a great job with that team.
Yeah, well, listen, either way you slice it, AFC West looks good. Zach, my friend, we'll talk to you soon.
Right on, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you, man. Eagles and CSU partnership working with Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Their OCR sports medicine physicians have been in the official orthopedic group for the Eagles and Colorado State since 2003, providing team and game coverage at every home game. But they're helping you out, more importantly. They're helping out great athletes that are getting hurt, banged up. If they can work with them and help them out, they can help you and I, Colfax. That's Orthopedic at Spine Center of the Rockies. Go to their website, orthohealth.com. 12:51 the time. We're going to wrap up hour number one, a busy 1 o'clock hour. So don't go anywhere. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Wow, that was a fast first hour. This show just flies by anymore. We're trying to let the powers that be let us go 3 hours, but you never know, man. During football season, there's just so much to hit. Dixon doesn't like the Zach Stevens interview because why? It takes me a few minutes to recover from the sugar overload love fest after Zach comes on. I think he was fair. He said he thinks the Chargers are going to, they have the best chance to win the division. So I don't know. He said, Chris, rabbit hole question. What's the record if Locke started the three games? I'm leaning at 1-2. I'll answer that on the other side. Take a short break. Second hour coming up next. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.